Well, we've done it again. They're precisely at 23 and a half minutes after the hour on a Tuesday. We're joined by Dr. Don Clark, a biochemist and a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and also a famed vintner in the state of Texas, from Garden Valley, Texas, just a hoot and a holler east of Dallas. They're actually about 80, 90 miles. That's more than a hoot or a holler, I think. Don Clark. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone?
I can't speak for everyone, but I'm doing fine. David, what would
my corner is good.
Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like everyone's doing fine.
Yeah. I think so. I have to ask. You know, it snowed here. I'm in Texas too, as you know. Did you get some snow over there?
Oh, we got a little bit of snow. We got a little bit of snow. It covered the trees and covered the ground. And then yesterday it pretty much all melted. There's a little bit left in the shaded areas, but for the most part it's all gone now. But we had half an inch or an inch.
Wow.
I was humored by our young neighbors who, as it snowed here, and we had about 4 inches of just heavy, slushy snow. We live on a cul-de-sac, and they took their trucks out and were spinning 360s or 180s in the middle of the road. I thought it was a little juvenile, but I'm glad they may not have ever seen snow before. who can blame them?
Yeah, they didn't realize it was slippery, I guess. No, maybe they did, and they were just having fun.
Yeah, and there were people trying to drive in it during the night and early the next morning, and there are all kinds of emergencies and slipping and sliding going on. But having spent 35 years in the North Star State, where David is there now, I knew I just stayed home. Didn't even worry about it. But it was a kind of a refreshing change. I love it when refreshing changes sweep through the world, and one is doing that in the scientific community, particularly those who study the cosmos, and that's our topic for this morning. It seems there's a satellite way, way, way out there sending back pictures of a strange light source. And I love it when scientists see something that makes them scratch their heads and say, we have to recompute now, don't we? We have to rethink this whole thing. What we've been spouting for the last century and a half is missing some key parts here. Don, this light source has nothing to do with stars or planets. It's not reflected light. They call it an unexplained light. It's as simple as that. But we can kind of explain it, can we not?
We certainly can. You see, when you ignore some basic part of literature that we have, history, if you will, and just try to explain things on the surface without looking at various resources that we have or texts that we have, it becomes perplexing. And in this case, this glow that they found. As a matter of fact, you would think, okay, maybe there's a little light, we can't explain it. Maybe there's a source of where that light is coming from, and we just don't see it because it's behind something or something. You know, you would say, okay, all right, not a big discovery. But the amount of light that they found was almost equivalent to all the light that we have known before.
How do you measure light? How do they? That's a question for me. How do you measure an amount of light?
Well, I mean, you look at the luminosity, and of course, you know, by that, how much light you have, and usually the way they determine how far an object is away from the Earth, they assume that the object, for example, this is a galaxy, and galaxies have a certain luminosity, and we know that the farther the object away is, we know the equation.
The law of decreasing squares, as I recall.
So yes, exactly. Yeah. So the light intensity, if you will, of the light luminosity decreases by the square of the distance. And that's where we get light years and, 1.5, 1.8 billion light years for the distance to the most distant, planet, or not planet, it's actually a cluster of galaxies. And therefore, we conclude, or at least they have concluded, that the universe is at least 1.8 billion light years old, based on the amount of time it took that light to get here. course, there's a lot of assumptions in that, and that's not the point of this particular discussion today. So the question is, this light appears not to have been generated by a star, which is the normal sources, or by a, exploded star or anything like that. And it doesn't appear to be reflected light. So where did all this light come from? The typical astronomers kind of perplexed as to where this light came from. Well, I want to bring people back, and we've talked about this before, but this is a good point to just to refresh people's mind, to Genesis, and in particular Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to talk about at least the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1. And so it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So the first thing that God, it's the second thing, because the first thing that he created was this, as we've talked about before, this, the earth is a general term, was formless and void. It's interesting, in the first verse, it says, in the beginning, so that we know that beginning has to do with, you can't have a beginning unless you have time. Mm-hmm. So part of God's creation was obviously creating time.
That's an interesting point. And to think that the earth, at least as it's first stated there, may have been no more than an idea as opposed to a physicality.
Or because we have a description of this, in quote, earth, mm-hmm. As it was formless and void. So you got an idea, well, earth, we know terra firma, you know, it's got substance to it.
Formless would be no shape to speak of. No, we would have no name for that shape, for example. It would not seem regular, like a sphere or a square or some other shape that we can identify. It was formless.
It was formless, and it didn't have anything in it.
But that doesn't mean there was no substance.
Exactly.
Okay.
So getting back to the point then, so God creates this formless and void earth, if you will, which is actually our space that we see or don't see, because obviously space is void until you have something in it. What he created first was the medium, if you will, that he was going to speak into. You know, sometimes, you know, we think that, okay, so scripture's is very allegorical, and this is all analogy, and so that we could understand and have some reference point for what God actually did. But what if scripture is much more literal than we think? So we often don't think that, you know, God necessarily speaks as we speak, but you have to remember that we are made in his image, and so therefore we have the ability to speak, and that ability to speak obviously came from God, and he made us in his image, so therefore we understand that he has the ability to speak. So when God said, let there be light, you have to ask the question, or at least I ask the question, because you know, that's what a good person that's doing investigation asks questions when you're trying to understand things. You say, well, okay, what did God speak into? You know, if he spoke, and it says, and God said, so therefore he spoke, he must have spoken into something, and I believe that something that he spoke into was this space-time, this formless and void earth that he created prior to, verse 3, for example.
Even the word spoke implies purpose, though. It wouldn't have been like an accidental uttering. It wouldn't have been a hiccup. It would have been an intentional message with an end in mind.
Exactly. Yes. And so he did have an end in mind. I mean, what's the point of making light if you're not going to do something with the light? And so the very next verse, and it says, and God saw that the light was good. Well, that's good. I'm glad that he approved of the light that he just spoke into existence. But the next part of that verse, it says, and God separated the light from the darkness. Now, that's an odd thing, you know, to say, because we normally, when you turn on the light switch, of course, you get light beaming, filling the room, filling the dark space. And but here, God does something very strange. He separates the light from the darkness. Well, how do you separate light from darkness?
You do it in a room by turning
off the light, but then the light is no longer the lamp or whatever you have that is illuminating the room is no longer illuminating. So therefore, the darkness fills the room again. But in this case, God did something very different than that. And I believe what he did here was take some of that light and put a spin on that light, if you will, a very, very tiny spin. And he made all of the subatomic particles and ultimately all the atomic particles, which then, you know, we make the molecules and the substance of Earth and everything that we see, including ourselves, which he's going to make later in Genesis. So he was preparing then a domain for us, which was separate from the heavens. It's interesting, the first verse, and I didn't notice this, and I've read these verses probably hundreds of thousands of times. Mm-hmm. And I've got to memorize pretty much most of Genesis chapter 1. Why would God start off and say, God created the heavens and the earth? It's pretty interesting that the heavens are separated from the earth, and the earth is what he focuses his attention
on. Two distinct creations, each with a different purpose and a different nature.
Right. So we know God lives in a heaven. Right. I mean, we call it heaven. I mean, it's, but he lives in his domain, if you will. We from references and other inferences from scripture, you know, John was caught up into the heaven. John was caught up into God's domain, his throne room. But, and so was Paul. Whether I'm in the third heaven, I don't know. So if there's a third heaven, there's got to be a second heaven. And so the second heaven has been kind of reserved, if you will, for the fallen angels and the spirit realm that they typically live in until they come and bother us in what we would now call the first heaven. This, then, earth, this formless and void, this space-time continuum that he created, he spoke into, then separates the light from the darkness and creates all the, like I said, all the atomic particles, all the subatomic particles, all the atomic particles. We get all the atoms, and of course, you know, everything, the material and the material stuff, basically, that we see today, in what he was then going to form the rest of creation with, as described in, you know, Genesis 1.
I have a question for you. This just dawned on me, and it. I mean, there's like, sure, you know, I mean, of course, but light doesn't need a medium to travel through, like heat does, or like speech does. If there's no air, you can't hear. There's no vibrations to transmit to your ears so that you can hear. But light, we can see. As the scientists would say, from light years away, coming through essentially a void in space. Is space a void?
No, space is not a void. And this is what Einstein discovered for his general relativity. For his special relativity, he thought space was void. But then after, you know, thinking about it, and, you know, he said, okay, let's assume space is not void, but space can be warped. Space can be matter, for example, affects the shape of space. And that's where he came up with the general relativity, his theory of general relativity. So Einstein changed his mind and argued with other scientists about this. But we've now, shown that his theories are indeed correct, that perhaps, and this is the kind of the viewpoint that I take, perhaps space is everything. And light then is a vibration in space, just like our voice. We're made in his image, right? I mean, so we speak into this medium that, you know, we have, which is air. And if you change the composition of air, obviously, from, let's say, 78% nitrogen and oxygen and, the various mixtures that our current air is, and then we change to just nitrogen, speaking into nitrogen, our voices, the pitch of our voices go up because the vibration of the nitrogen molecules bumping into each other is different and has a different, index of vibration than, let's say, air does. And so we hear it as a high-pitched voice.
I didn't know that.
So,
it's not like breathing helium, is it? That does something else.
Breathing helium is exactly, that's exactly it.
Oh,
breathing
it is.
Helium, gives you the squeaky voice. And then when you talk with helium in your lungs, instead of air in your lungs, then you have a squeaky voice.
So it doesn't affect your vocal cords. It's the actual substance that's in your lungs that tailors the sound of your voice.
Yes, your vocal folds vibrate the air.
The same as they would with oxygen, but because it's a different gas, it sounds differently. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, my point being that if God specifically created us that way, and this is how we talk, then God, the conclusion is that light... Now, let's talk about the properties of light, for example. Light has no rest mass, which means that if you stopped a light particle, then it would essentially stop to exist. There would be nothing there to measure. So there's no rest mass, unlike an electron or unlike a neutron or a proton, which has a rest mass. Now, this gets a little, you got to use your imagination a little bit, but so light then, one use of light is to actually transmit energy from one source to another source, and molecules, for example, absorb different wavelengths of light, based on the vibrations, for example, of a hydrogen and a carbon atom, attached to each other, they would have, in the various shapes of the molecule, they would have different vibrations and absorb energies at a different frequency, or, electrons, for example. The whole quantum theory that Niels Bohr, discussed and came up with, along with others, said that, okay, an electron cloud, for example, will absorb energy only at discrete energy packets, and so they are quantized. And so based on that, we get spectroscopy. We get light spectroscopy. We get infrared spectroscopy. We get UV spectroscopy. We get, you know, the various spectroscopies. And it's a tool that chemists use in order to determine what molecules they have in the test tube, for example. So what I'm saying, though, is that light then, so you have a light source, and, you know, a typical light bulb, or now we have LEDs. But the basic principle is we have energy, electrical current going through something that then emits light and then excites the electrons in whatever substance that you're trying to excite, whether it be tungsten in a incandescent bulb, or whether it be neon in a neon lamp bulb, or whether it be a light emitting, you know, diode, or silicon in a LED, a light emitting diode. But the principle is basically the same. You're using moving electrons in order to excite, energize something within an element in order to generate light, but the light is coming from the collapse of an excited electron cloud coming back down. And when it comes back down, it gives off a certain frequency or a certain particle, which is light. Now, light has dual properties, which we've known for quite some time, and it's been actually relative confusing in that it's both a particle and a wave. So it has wave characteristics and it has particle characteristics. So we can take a mirror, for example, shine light on it, and it will bounce back, if you will, and at a certain angle, you know, at the same angle, incident angle, the exit angle is pretty much the same. And it looks like, you know, it's just bouncing off, just as you would take a rubber ball, throw it on the floor. It, you know, bounces off the floor. Well, light has that property. But if you take two slits and you pass homogeneous light through it, or a collimated light through it, lo and behold, you get a diffraction pattern as if it was a wave. And so it has both a wave and a particle characteristic. So they've come to to describe it as a wave packet. So it is a wave.
I'm starting to get lost, I have to tell you that.
Okay, so the whole point is that light is a vibration.
Mm. Sure.
So let's get back to God said, let there be light. Light is a vibration. What is it a vibration in? It's a vibration in space. Space is the medium in which light travels. And so when God spoke into space, he created a disturbance in space, and that disturbance we call light. And therefore, from that disturbance, you then can create every subatomic particle that we know of. And they're based on just various energies, but it's basically just a disturbance or a vibration, or a wave, if you will, a wave packet in light. So we know now, for example, that the electron is made up of three subatomic particles, and these subatomic particles spin around each other. But if you were to stop any of those, it would just give off a light at a certain, you know, wavelength, bending on the energy of the electron. And so it appears then that an electron is just three particles of light spinning around each other.
Hmm. So we're saying that that light really is the stuff we're made of?
Yes.
Sounds.
So when you break it all down, the third verse in Genesis, when God said, let there be light, that was the foundation of everything material in the universe. So when we discover, let's get back to the article, when we discover then that there is residual light in the universe, so much light that we really can't explain it because it it's not coming from anything. It is the residual voice of God that is still left in our universe.
Hmm. Well, I would venture this. All these astronomers and what astrophysicists and people who study the heavens are not going to run back to Genesis and say, aha, that's what it is. They're going to send out another satellite. Because it seems we
I have a question, Don, and the point of the question actually has been passed, but I still want to ask the question. Has it ever happened in our space travels to the moon? Do we know that you can hear sound in space?
Well, there are such things as quasars, and quasars are pulsing energy sources, if you will. We can hear them. And we convert it into sound.
Mm-hmm.
So the space being, what we consider as sound is you have to have a medium for the sound to travel. And the medium, sure, of course, is the molecules that we have in our atmosphere. So if you don't have any atmosphere, in quote, you don't essentially have any sound.
David, long story short, the Death Star exploded and nobody heard it.
Nobody heard it. When there's an explosion in space, you don't hear it.
That's
because
true.
There's, unless you've got a lot of, gases to transmit the sound. So sound, sound is just continuous disturbance in the medium in which it travels. So in essence, then space kind of continues that whole,
I always marvel at the movies when something explodes and you hear this loud there,
so yeah. So it wasn't a dumb a question as I thought it was.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. Good. All right.
Since we are made in the image of God, He wanted us to understand how we are formed and why our physical beings are the way that they are.
Well, David, there's no such thing as a stupid question, except sometimes. Sometimes.
Except sometimes the ones that I ask.
We're discussing an article that really was put out by the Breakpoint folks. It was the broadcast on the station last week. We'll put a link to it in the chat window if you'd like to follow up on this. But the basic point is you can trust your gut. Sometimes you know why something is so without seeing a report from a scientist. And it's an interesting article, so we'll get a link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. Also want to refer you to the Creation Moments website. Creationmoments.com is where they've got all kinds of information, scientific information about the biblical story of creation. You'll find it a wonder. Spend some time there, creationmoments.com. Don Clark, thank you very much. Dr. Don, we'll look forward to next week. We've got another good Breakpoint article in the waiting for next week, so we'll look forward to that. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Bye-bye.
See you. Hold on.
Interesting show.